Kyle and I feel like a couple of podcast athletes these days. We'll tell you why. We're going to talk about OEM struggling in sales, Experian giving the wrong credit scores, and the metaverse jobs disappearing into the metaverse. Everywhere I go, the people really want to know. Yo, where's my metaverse job? It only exists in the metaverse apparently now.
And the building around it hasn't been built, so you actually can't get there, which is the whole weird thing.
It's a job without a building, I guess. Oh my gosh. So yesterday, we woke up and we came into the office, and before
and then
we went
to sleep, it was like,
and it was, I went to bed last night and I was like, it feels like tomorrow should be Friday. Like, I feel like we've gotten that much done this week. We woke up, we prepped a show in the morning, in the wee hours of the morning. Then we were on the Inside Auto podcast before the day started, because it was, you know, hosted by Auto Lead Star in Israel. And then we did this show, and then we recorded an Auto Collabs podcast with Jason Rice, and then a live interview with Todd Caputo, and then a full-on
Cafe with Dane Seville.
That was next, right?
And then we finished the day with
Danny Zaslavsky. See, I can say his last name now.
Zaslavsky.
I can say it. I'll say it. Say it three times fast. With VinQ, who was telling us about this amazing VR experience they're bringing to AsotaCon. They literally filmed it and created it because we asked them, said, if you want to be a collaborator at this event, you need to come with something fresh. And so they literally got this 11K technology orb with all these 11K cameras, and they went through, they're building out this whole dealership experience. It's going to be amazing. And you can check it out at AsotaCon through the VR. He's like, it's not hokey. And if we know them, they don't make hokey things. So that was yesterday, and it was like six. We generated like 4 hours of content. I feel like a professional podcaster, Kyle.
I know. I think
we are
for a living. We should think about doing that.
Well, we're so glad that so many of you jump in with us in the morning. It really does energize us, right? We got to the end of the day, and we were like, I feel energized by these conversations. The nature of collaboration going on inside the automotive industry is next level. And we kind of see it inside these conversations, and we can't wait to share them with you because, man, people be collaborating.
Everybody is pushing the boundaries of what it looks like to work with each other, whether that be industry partners with dealers or industry partners working together to make solutions. Or, I mean, it's all over the place, and I'm thrilled by it. I think this has always been the heart of auto, but we're starting to see it on a whole new scale, recognizing that if we don't do things like this, then we will just run out of steam. And it's just, you know, I wrote it last night. It's like, this is the energy that I feel like we need in this cultural moment of automotive.
The moment. You're so right. All that stuff that we're talking about, you can go to autocollabs.com or just search it on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe, because all these interviews we're talking about are about to start dropping even more this week. We have some in the queue already. Damon Lester's dropping. Jim McKelvey's dropping. Co-founder Square. It's going to be nuts. And all these people are going to be at AsotaCon. Ticket sales are picking up. If you're a dealer or industry partner and you want to jam with us for just 48 hours in Philly, please go to AsotaCon.com and get your tickets. We're releasing more schedules, sessions, but it is going to be, just look at the list of speakers and be like, oh, this is going to be a thing.
I know. Every time, we've said this before, but every time I look at the list of speakers, I'm like, golly.
I know.
Why do I have to be locked in one room at one time?
Right. Impossible to see all the sessions at
Unbelievable.
Once. It is. But we have the automotive universe is still turning and still ticking. And we have a few stories today that we found interesting. We hope you find interesting too, because that's our goal on this show, right? We can't talk about all the news, but this is almost, this kind of came out yesterday in one of our interviews. What we do on the Automotive Troublemaker in the morning, whether it's this or the audio version, if you watch it, download the audio podcast, have it there in your ear if you need it. You can listen to it on 1.5 speed because we don't talk that fast.
Not that bad.
It's basically, we consider it an approach angle, right? We want to try to orient the auto industry to approach retail automotive from a retail, pop culture, an economic perspective and an angle that kind of considers all the things and comes in through that lens. There are a lot of ways to approach it. We don't want our heads down. We want them up. So what we try to do in the show is to give you that approach angle. So let's get to our first story. This one from Automotive News this morning. July U.S. light vehicle sales down 11%. Toyota was down 21%. Honda, dang, they were down 47%. Mazda, 29%. And this marks 1 year of consistent down months for Toyota and Honda. Hyundai and Kia, it's their fifth month down. And they say a Toyota's down to a 16-day supply.
Wow. So,
It's not all bad news. We're going to contextualize this.
It's not bad news because obviously we have there's a downturn in sales, but I wouldn't attribute that to demand particularly. We're still seeing issues with availability. So when you think about 14,000 vehicles for Toyota in stock at dealers, on I the think ground, they yeah. are, aren't they like somewhere in like the 1,700 dealers in their network? They're a larger portion. We'll look that up, but we'll find out and maybe let you know tomorrow. But they've got a lot of dealers. So when you start to break that down, that's like 10 cars a store on the ground on average. That ain't normal. That ain't normal, folks, right? So just availability, I think, is playing a lot bigger of a factor in sales volume.
1,200 Toyota dealers.
1,200. Got it.
1,200 Toyota dealers in the U.S.
Yeah, so quick math is like 14 cars per, you know, not even 14, you know, 12 and a half cars per rooftop. So, you know, that's not anything to write home about, and availability is still stifling the ability for purchasers to enter the market right now.
Yeah.
And purchase. So I think that's a differentiator
for sure
there. So, you know, I mean, I like personally, I just purchased a new car and had to wait 2 weeks for the next ground stock to arrive. So, and that's from a dealer that I know, like it wasn't like,
that was the Kyle Mountaineer favorite call directly to the top. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, so here's just interestingly enough, Charlie Chesbrough, who will be at a SudoCon.
What? It may or may not be why I included this quote in the article.
What?
So he's a senior economist at Cox, right?
Yes, at Cox Automotive, and works alongside Jonathan Smoke and a lot of other economists. And his quote is, there are plenty of headwinds pushing against a notable recovery in sales volumes. Rising interest rates and low consumer sentiment are keeping many potential buyers out of the market. At the same time, higher prices for both gasoline and vehicles are making affordability an even greater challenge. Tight supply, however, continues to be the biggest obstacle over the near term, and there's little evidence of supply returning to normal. Mm-hmm. So what that means is there are still people, a lot of people out of market that normally would be in market. We talked about the story yesterday where vehicle age is growing, and which means that more people are staying out of market for new vehicle purchases. So, you know, as things like gas prices and interest rates potentially come back down to a normalized level, we will probably see another uptick, which is crazy because we're going to see another supply crunch at that point if the demand isn't met in the meantime.
Little bright spot, hybrid and plug-in hybrid sales rose 12% at Hyundai and 86% at Kia. So a little indicator there that people are leaning in those as you get them, right? As they're available, people are buying them. Also a little notable fact, the average interest rate in June or July was 5.5%. And the average loan term, this one got me a little bit, 71 months is the average loan term.
Wow. Oh, wow. Look at this. So Brian Ortega, a Toyota dealership, just noted that they have no Camrys or Corollas, which are the highest sellers in those maybe outside of the RAV4, right? Because of those small crossovers. But that's a pretty stark reality for a Toyota dealership.
Yeah,
but no doubt. Sorry to interrupt the interest rate thing.
Do it. So,
yeah.
Hey, real time input from a dealer. Let's put it on the screen.
Interrupt. Put it on the screen. Interrupt. Let's go.
So, you know, I mean, like our takeaway from this is kind of keep calm and carry on. Like, okay, this is news. It's good to keep your head up. Good to understand what's going on. Not that it should really change much of what you're doing. And
really
like, just make sure your operations are tight. Make sure your service is running tight. Make sure that you're taking really great care of the people and doing right by them, what their trades and what you're selling the cars for. And, you know, it's a long game. Everybody
still stuck in my head from Clubhouse last week. Just choose not to participate.
Choose not to participate.
In the mayhem, in the recession.
In the rhetoric.
Just choose not to participate. In the mentality. Just keep rolling. Like, push. Yeah. Let's go.
I mean, so, yeah. I mean, you did mess up my segue, though, because I was talking about interest rates. And then I'd be like, speaking of interest rates. Stop. This is the first time I put two articles together thinking specifically of a segue.
You pre-planned a segue. That's impressive.
It's just now that the other mechanics are becoming a little bit normal, right? I can start to get a little fancy and pre-plan segue so Kyle can throw a monkey wrench at them.
And then I just like drop a grenade in the middle of it.
That's how we roll. So interesting Wall Street Journal article. Experian reported that they delivered inaccurate credit scores to millions of customers affecting rates. Yep.
Gulp.
So say millions of customers seeking loans during a three-week period earlier this year. It just came out. Bank executives and some other familiar with the situation said between March and April, erroneous scores on people applying for auto loans, mortgages, and credit cards to banks and non-bank lenders, big and small, including banks like JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and our automotive friend Ally Financial. Rates average a 20-point difference either way, higher or lower. And so get this. So the CEO of Equifax, he acknowledged it and he said, you know, it was a coding error. Like, it was a coding error. The impact, he said, but the impact's going to be quite small. It's not something, this one got me. This next line, I mean, this is a shareholder line. This is a CEO delivering a line to the shareholder, but he may have forgotten that, like, the public might actually hear that. He says, it's not something that's meaningful to Equifax. So it's not something that's meaningful to Equifax. So, but like, yeah, people's credit, the rate that they got could have been affected by it. And they said in some instances it was very small amount. He's like, yeah, it's not meaningful to Equifax. And then they kind of like in the article, they dive into some more data. And they did say like in some cases, people with zero credit score actually got graded at like a 700.
No. Wow.
So
you know, this is where like why credit, all the credit unions out there are like, see?
Absolutely. See?
That's why we have people read the credit report and look into their history and actually read the credit app. And all of the like pass through banks are like, skirt, you know.
I mean, so like,
it's an interesting proposition. Yeah. I am guessing like overall scope of lending, most of these people probably still got approved. Maybe there was a little rate difference. It might have affected like some local lenders or dealers or smaller mortgage lenders that couldn't go find and book that somewhere else if for some reason it was lower. So the overall impact, but you still got to think like that a coding error could potentially disrupt the lending industry for 3 weeks.
They didn't even realize until now.
That's nuts.
You know, I think you think of someone with no credit score getting graded at a 700 and being really happy. But the reality is that credit scores exist for a reason. And some of those people who got loans probably can't afford them.
Right.
And, you know, that could put them in a hardship. I mean, that's a whole other conversation about personal responsibility that we're not going to get into here.
Right, exactly.
But at the same time, you know, again, just to be aware that this is going on and to just pay attention and to know what's up, I'm sure Equifax will be just fine. But yeah, like your point, like things can affect this industry that we don't even realize, which just highlights the importance of being a good, solid, holistic player.
This is just another lesson in educating your people to educate your customers, just making sure that no matter what time it is, that there's an understanding around credit, like a solid understanding, not just about credit scores, but about, you know, what's in credit, how credit is, you know, grown or where credit issues come into play, where it's not just like, oh, that's bad credit or, oh, that's good credit. And, you know, that kind of used to be reserved just for the finance manager. It was something that was kind of held sacred. Mm-hmm. And I think that just this is a case in point on the more you can educate your people across the dealership, the more they're going to be able to practice empathy with customers.
Yeah.
No matter what you're telling them. And so just a reminder there to give your people the capacity for empathy by educating them on what credit really is, both for them personally and for their customers.
That's really good. I'm trying hard.
Thank you.
Thanks for telling me.
It's like the old. It's like when somebody's like, "I love you," and the other person's like, "Thank you." Oh man!
Speaking of things that everybody was loving in the spring.
Stop. Segway time.
Earlier this year, our good friend Zuck. We'll call him our good friend. I don't know if, you know, we're not really on Facebook.
I think he agreed. Well, you're probably Facebook friends with Zuck. Remember, back when you log on, he was the first one that was suggested?
That's true.
We're friends, man. We're real friends.
But he can only have 5,000, so I might have been in there because I was, you know, early adopter. Yeah. But, all right, so, you know, they announced that they were moving to their name to be this global brand called Meta, and all of a sudden, like, within a 30-day period, It was like everybody and their brother was talking about the metaverse. 18 billion job openings around building in the metaverse, constructing in the metaverse. All of that happens. And like, it's this massive, actually, I was listening to a comedian last night and he was like, and 8 seconds later on social media, someone came along with a cute bunny video, right? And then we all decided to forget about it. And that's kind of what this feels like. So metaverse job openings across job boards are down 81% between April and June. A report from Bloomberg highlighting Revelio Labs study showed that postings for jobs related to the metaverse dropped during that time. And it's really interesting to see like this stark difference in people going, we're all in. Well, I don't know about
it. But I got this other thing I got to deal with first. And we were just talking about this in one of our podcast interviews. Who were we talking about with Brian Kramer developing?
Basically Brian Kramer goes and does a transaction in the metaverse and then goes and tells all of us like, we weren't even ready for it.
We made it happen as part of stretching out and seeing what is possible, but then realizing like we're not ready for this. Apparently, Meta realizes the metaverse isn't ready for all the people. You know, the Meta CEO, Zucks, said fierce headwinds are one of the reasons we're pulling back so substantially on the hiring for metaverse development. Apple CEO Tim Cook said the company is taking a more deliberate approach to hiring as opposed to their not deliberate approach previously.
Weird.
We were being so just random with our hire, but now we're going to be deliberate now.
Yes.
But either way, really in the metaverse, the bottom line is there's no money to be made yet. There just isn't. There isn't mass adoption, right? There's not mass adoption.
The money goes where the people go.
It does. And the people go there.
People aren't going to the metaverse yet. And so the revenue opportunities are down. And so, again, like we've said in the past three things, pay attention, listen, watch, understand as much as you can, but take measured approaches to both innovation and change. Not that you shouldn't stretch yourself like Brian Kramer did by doing the transaction in the metaverse. You should stretch. You should push the boundaries, especially every once in a while, because it allows your brain to think outside the box. But utilizing what we have right now to serve customers right now is just as important as looking out over their eyes and understanding what might be possible in whether it be 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, because they're both measured approaches and important to the way business moves and breathes over a timeline.
You know, there's another thought, and that is that dealers, automotive industry, you are not the tech industry. So you are not struggling for profit. You are not,
right?
Looking so bleak. And it's easy to look at that like, well, we need to pull back. You know, exploration, innovation always take a backseat to survival. And so that's what we're seeing in the tech industry. Like revenue's down, taking a hit in the stock market, right? Valuations are low. We need to pull back. Auto dealers, you are not in that same place. Automotive, we are not in that same place. So
great call.
Now is the time to actually keep leaning in on exploration and collaboration. And, you know, investing in your infrastructure, not just your physical infrastructure, but your brand infrastructure, your operational infrastructure, because you have it to do right now. Back to Ben Stock, fix the roof when the sun's shining, right? So back to all the way back to the beginning of this episode, the approach angle. Let's not read all these stories and read the news and be like, hey, here are three stories that could be taken as like, oh, things aren't going so good. Look at your P&L, right? That you and we as an industry are not them. So there you go. We hope that's a little calibration for your, what day is it? Wednesday? Your Wednesday morning. We got podcasts to make, content to make, collaborations to bring together so that we can bring them all to you and you can bring your thoughts to them. And that's how that goes.